So let me start off with a story. So years ago, back when I lived in Colorado, I went out to eat with a guy one morning for breakfast. And it was a cold day, and there had been some drizzle or something. And I was walking in. It was like a grocery store with a little cafe attached, I guess. And so I was walking in front of the grocery store, just going down the sidewalk, and there was a place where the gutter ran under the sidewalk, and they'd kind of cut out the sidewalk and covered it, I think, with wood. And I'm walking along, and I stepped on that wood, and I just was like, whoa, you know, and almost fell. Just that different texture and different material, I think, the ice had frozen on that wood and made a really dangerous situation. And so it occurred to me, hey, I should go tell somebody at the store that they should come out and salt that so that, you know, somebody else doesn't fall. And then I thought, you know, that's kind of inconvenient. It's going to make me late. They're not going to believe me. They're going to think I'm overreacting. Just because I fell doesn't mean somebody else is going to fall. Or, you know, just all these things ran through my mind. So I went and had breakfast instead. And then when I walked out of the store, there was an ambulance there. And there was an elderly gentleman who had fallen on the ice. And I felt kind of bad that, you know, I could have said something, and I didn't. And there was another story when we were in Colorado, and I don't remember the details on this exactly, but they were building something over an overpass or something over the interstate. A few of you Coloradoans might remember this, but there was a guy who was driving down the interstate, and it was a windy day, and he saw it, and because he was in construction, he knew, like, oh, that's bad. They did something wrong there, and that's going to fall. And so he called 911. You can imagine the call at 911. Oh, there's a bridge. Well, has it fallen? No, it hasn't fallen, but it's going to fall. And they're like, we don't know how to handle that. Like, you know, like, what are we supposed to do? Call a construction crew, or what happens next? And so sure enough, it fell and landed on a car and killed a couple people, I think, at least one. You can imagine that guy seeing that and realizing, oh, this thing's going to fall, and what would run through his mind in terms of, like, should I call somebody? What do I do? Should I try to block the interstate? If I block the interstate and it doesn't fall, then I'm going to look bad. People are going to be honking their horns. They're going to be really mad. And then in hindsight, you think, maybe I should have just parked my car in the middle of the interstate and stopped everybody. So there are these situations, I think, where we feel like maybe we should say something or do something, and it's awkward. We don't know quite what to do. And to me, that's a little bit like sharing the message of Jesus sometimes, is we feel like we have this great message and it's really helpful to people, but we're a little afraid, you know, oh, you know, what are people going to think? And you know, it's inconvenient and it's awkward and I'm going to look foolish. And so we can kind of shy away. And so today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about a verse in 2 Timothy 4:2 about preaching the word in season and out of season, and just how to respond to that. What do we do with that? And we're going through a series right now, going through the book of 2 Timothy, not verse by verse, but just kind of picking out some of the key verses, some of the gems out of that book. And so let's pray and we'll jump into it. So Lord, we ask that you would bless this time. And just, God, that you would speak through me, God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would just help us to hear from you. Just whenever we talk about sharing our faith or evangelism or anything like that, it's a little bit uncomfortable. Being a shy person myself, I can relate to that. God, it's awkward. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? And I don't know. It's just challenging. And even if we're up for it, it's hard to know what to do. So I pray, God, just that you would help us during this time, that you would lead us, just that you'd give us a heart for people and a heart to make a difference with our lives. And so we just ask your blessing on this time here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're focused on that verse 2, but I want to read the whole passage first just because it gives a little bit of a context to it. So 2 Timothy 4:1-7, actually I think it's 1-8, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So I'd like to just go through that and pull out just a few key points from some of those verses. So first off, just it starts off, it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Let me just point out, that is an incredible emphasis that he starts off with there. So we've talked recently about different verses that are emphasized or highlighted in Scripture. That is a very strong highlight. Can you imagine if I said to you, hey, can I share something with you? That would have a certain feel to it, right? But if after church I said, hey, can I share something with you? Maybe we could go talk in private. That would have a little bit of a different feel. If I said, hey, can I share something with you? Maybe we should go talk in private, and I want to bring Dove and Tom with me as witnesses. Okay? The different flavor, right? And so that's how he's saying, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, I want to share this with you, with God as my witness and with Jesus as my witness, right? This huge emphasis. And so if you didn't know what was coming next, you'd be like, oh man, whatever comes next is a big deal to Paul. And the big deal is this, let's preach the word. This is his emphasis. This is the thing he wants to pass on to Timothy. Now, if you remember, Timothy is Paul's kind of son in the faith, his spiritual son, in a sense. And so Timothy is also a young pastor in a church in Ephesus. And so when he says preach the word, you could take that maybe different ways. The word itself, preach, has a bit of a kind of a proclaim, you know, announce this thing. And so that has a little bit more maybe the flavor of evangelism. But then when you see the context there, when he talks about correct, rebuke, encourage, and he's talking to this pastor in this church, that might have a little bit more of the flavor of preach the word at church, right? Preach this message to your congregation. And either way, I think this is something that's on Paul's heart, and we'll get into that a little bit deeper here in a second. So this huge stress, this huge emphasis on preaching the word, and then let's keep going. He says, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So I didn't actually look this up, but I'm pretty sure that the Greek word where it says a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, the Greek word for that, I'm pretty sure it's internet, but I'm not positive on that. But it's kind of a fascinating world we live in, isn't it? Where whatever you believe, you can find people on the internet to support you in that. You could probably find studies to support you in whatever you believe on any particular topic. And I think there's a danger here for us in that we don't necessarily want to be preached at. Right? We don't want to be corrected. We want to be affirmed in our beliefs. And so this is in contrast to what he shared, this preach the word. We don't want that. People don't want that. What do they want to do? They want to be affirmed in what they already believe. And using that word affirmed, I know people can put that in the context of, oh, you're talking about homosexuality or you're talking about gender. But really, we want to be affirmed in anything we believe, right? We want to be affirmed in our beliefs about greed and money and finances. We want to be affirmed in our beliefs about parenting or marriage or roles. Affirmed in our beliefs about premarital sex. Affirmed in our beliefs about everything we believe. We don't want to be preached at. We want to be affirmed. And so even when it talks about preaching the word, if Paul is talking to Timothy as a pastor and he's saying, hey, preach the message at church, I think then our response is one of the two things. If you're a pastor, well, then your response would be, okay, I need to be careful to preach the word. If you're not a pastor, then the response would be, okay, I need to be careful to listen to the word, right? Because this is really important to Paul. This is really important to God. God has put this on Paul's heart. And I think the danger is if we just gather around ourselves a great number of teachers to say whatever we want to hear, then we don't have guidance. We don't have rails. We don't have someone telling us what the good way is, what the true way is. And it made me just think of a word, crazy train, which, of course, made me think of Ozzy Osbourne. And, you know, it's like if you don't have that direction, if you don't have that guidance, then you are on a crazy train. You're just going through life just, it was one of his albums, in case you're wondering. And what the word does, preach the word, is it gives us rails. We're not just plummeting through life, just doing whatever we want. But the word directs us down a good path, a life-giving path, a path that brings hope and good into everything that we do. And so the world has rejected the word, but it still needs the word. Then in verse 5 it says, but you keep your head in all situations. And I really like that. This is in the NIV. I think a more literal translation would be sober-minded. And I don't like that as much because that means nothing to me. Like someone said, like, hey, be sober-minded. It's like, okay, what do I do with that? Like, nobody ever says that, right? But keep your head, that kind of makes sense to me. Have you ever been hit in the head so hard that you see stars? Like everything kind of goes black and you see little kind of like the background on the PowerPoint. I've had that happen before. That is such a weird thing. And it's like you get hit really hard and you're disoriented and you just can't think about anything other than, you know, I hope my senses come back to me pretty soon. There's a scene in the movie Saving Private Ryan, and it's near the beginning when they're at D-Day and they're storming the beach, and Tom Hanks' character has, I think maybe a shell explodes close to him. Something happens where he kind of just zones out for a second, and there's like a ringing in his ears, and you see him just kind of scanning the beach, and he's just kind of standing there like oblivious to bullets going around. And he sees other people, like he sees people on fire. It's a great scene for War is Ugly. But just, you know, terrible things are happening. And there's this other guy that he spots, and this guy is also going through this thing where he's oblivious to what's going on. He's just kind of walking along, and he seems kind of lost. And he ends down, and he picks something up, and he holds it up, and you see it's an arm. And then you realize that's his arm, his other arm. And, oh, good, I found my arm. And then he kind of wanders off. And he's just totally out of it, right? And then Tom Hanks comes back to it. And you could see him kind of come to his senses. And then he starts barking orders. And, you know, if we stay here, we're going to die. So it's like, okay, we got to storm forward. We'll probably die storming forward, but we're definitely going to die if we stay here. And so he keeps his head in that situation. He's like, I know what needs to be done, and that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to call other people into. Just keep your head. Keep your head. Be sober-minded. And I think that's such a great call for our world right now, is our world is on this crazy train, and all these wild thoughts and things are going on right now, and we have to keep our head. Say, you know what? I'm going to stay true to the word. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to follow him. It says endure hardship. That was something that Dove spoke about last week in chapter 2. It says endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And there is this element of life is hard, but spiritual battles also hard. We have to be willing to endure hardship to preach the word. And for us in today's day and age, at least in the United States of America, we don't face a lot of persecution for our faith in terms of, you know, being beheaded or something like that. So most of what we face is probably just a fear of people, right? Which isn't really that much different than when I slipped on the sidewalk or when the guy's afraid of stop in the interstate when the I-beam's going to fall. You know, we're afraid that if we take a stand with Jesus, or if we share a verse, or if we wear a WWJD bracelet or something, you know, someone's going to look at us, someone's going to say something, and they're going to humiliate us, and we're going to feel foolish. And a lot of what we worry about enduring is probably more along those lines of just some kind of shame of association with Jesus. And we have to be willing to endure hardship. Endure hardship. We have to be willing to say, you know, yeah, they might think I'm silly if I go and tell them that I just slipped on the sidewalk and someone else is going to slip and they need to do something about that. But it's a good thing. It's a loving thing to do. And I think as we preach the word with this world, we want to do it tastefully. We want to do it lovingly. But I think we have to realize that part of that comes with hardship. And part of that, we need to endure the shame that we feel, the foolishness we feel, whatever it is, the rejection that we're afraid of. We have to endure that. And we want to have our head in the game of, okay, I'm up for this. And then he says, do the work of an evangelist. And so earlier we saw that we were supposed to preach the word perhaps in church, but the evangelist would be preaching the word to the world, preaching the message of hope, just like we saw in the little five-minute video there, right? That Jesus died for our sins. He paid for our sins so that we could have eternal life just by believing in him. So when I think of this lost world and I think of this crazy train, there are all kinds of things that come to mind. But the most important one of those is that people don't have a relationship with God. They're not conscious of their sin. They're not conscious of future judgment. They're not conscious of that there's an easy way to be forgiven, that there's hope, that there can be change in life. And so, man, on this crazy train, they need that more than anything else. More than anything else, they need the message of Jesus. And so this is something we could say. I mean, we could still say, well, this is still for Timothy and not for me. But, of course, Jesus, we know when he was on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection, that he shared this message again and again, to go and preach the good news to all creation. This is what was on his heart. And this wasn't just something that was for those, whatever, the disciples or whoever was following him at the time. It was something that was to be passed on to future generations. As he said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, which, of course, would include what he just commanded them. So this is something that God has for all of us. Not everybody's an evangelist. It's not going to look the same for everybody, and that's okay. But I think we all want to have that heart of, I want to do something. I at least want to be available for God to use me to share his message. And then those last few verses I think are pretty cool. It starts off, he says, for. So for means what he's saying here is connected to what he's just been talking about, right? This is giving a reason for this. It says, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Why does he go into this? Well, basically 2 Timothy is like his last words. He's saying, hey, I sense that I'm out of here. I'm done here on the earth. He's writing from prison. Maybe he has the sense of he's going to get beheaded soon. But in any case, maybe the Spirit revealed to him that he was going to die soon. But he has this sense of, my life is short. And so I fought the fight, right? I finished the race. I've kept the faith. All that's left for me is to be rewarded. So what's he doing? Well, he's trying to pass the baton to Timothy, right? He's saying, so Timothy, you need to do the same thing. You need to fight the fight. You need to keep the faith. And I'm passing this baton to you. So there's this real sense of Paul wanting his life to count, and he's passing his life on to Timothy, saying, you know, this really matters. I want your life to count too. I don't know if I was real conscious of this at the time, but I was thinking about this a little bit with my own family. And I always had the sense that I was going to die young. My grandpa had a heart attack when he was in his 40s. My dad died at 62, I think. I started having chest pains in middle school, something like that. And you know, all the way through, I don't know, every 10, 15 years, I have this huge medical workup, and they never find anything too exciting. But I think I had this sense of, you know, I probably wouldn't outlive my dad's age. And so with my kids, it's like I wanted to pass on everything I could to them because I didn't know how long I'd be around. And I wanted to pass on a heart for God. I wanted to pass on just everything I had, which maybe wasn't much, but it's like I wanted to give it to them because I didn't know how long I'd be around. And now I'm at this really weird age where I'm not as old as my dad was. I'm 58-ish. It's weird when you get old. It's like, yeah, give or take a year or two. And so basically I'm at the age that I remember living with my dad at this age. Like, you know, when I went off to college, I'm as old now as he was then. So when I look in the mirror, it's weird. It's like, ugh, that's my dad. You know, I'm that old. That's pretty crazy. So now I'm kind of like, well, this is weird. I could live another 10, 20 years. I don't know. You know, maybe that was a false sense. But I think that's good to have that idea of life is short. Life is short. And there are scary things. There are scary relationships, scary things that God calls us to do. But we want to step into those because what really matters is the bigger picture. What really matters is the mission of God and that God has us on. And so I really connect with this verse. I think this is really cool. I'm going to share a story with you guys. And this is a little bit weird, but you probably don't realize this, but churches get weird things in the mail. So a few examples. Sometimes this is kind of heartbreaking, but sometimes there'll be like a mom whose son is going through a hard time, and she'll mail random churches. And so I'll get a letter that says, hey, you know, I just want you to pray for my son. And, you know, my son's a really good boy, but he fell in with this bad crowd. And, he went to jail a couple times, but then he was turning his life around. I just recently found drugs on him again. I'm afraid he's going to get caught. And, you know, there'll be this long story. Can you please pray for my son? And maybe every 9 months or so, I'll get a letter like that. So it's weird. It's weird to think that somebody's in that desperate of a situation that they're just like, we need prayer so desperately, I'm going to mail, I don't know what they do, 100 churches, 1,000 churches, and try to get help here. So it's kind of cool, but it's also kind of heartbreaking. Sometimes you get letters from people who feel like they have found the problem of churches in America, so they kind of want to reprove you, you know. They don't know who you are. They don't know what message you're preaching or anything, but they're kind of like, you know, well, hey, here's this key verse, and you know, pastors in America need to repent, and yada, yada, yada. I always picture this as like prisoners. Like they're writing, they've been studying scripture on their own. They're a little bit off in their doctrine, and they're like, I don't know what else to do but write letters. I don't know. Maybe it's prisoners, maybe not. But anyway, get these strange things. And sometimes you get people that, you know, they want to make money at something. So anyway, about 2 months ago, I got this package in the mail. And it's full of jewelry made from recycled CDs. Kind of open, like, what is this? I didn't order this. Let's send this back. And this guy, his name's Bud, sent this out. Cost him $6.45 just in postage, plus whatever time and materials he spent on this. So it's pretty wild to think I don't know him from Adam. So I don't know if he mailed this to a dozen churches or to 100 or 1,000 churches, or how he funds this, or what's going on here. But I just thought it was kind of interesting. It was a little suspicious at first. Like, well, maybe this is some kind of scam. He's trying to get money. He wants me to buy more of these or something. And so there's a little slip of paper in there that kind of explained what some of the different styles were and what they meant to him and what the symbolism was. And then he had a whole description of why he did it and some verses and kind of tried to explain what's happening, and it's a two-page thing. And I thought this was pretty interesting because on this part, you can see his vision for what he's doing. And I'd like to share his vision with you. I want to make it really clear to you, I am not going to try to get you to wear one of these or to buy one of these or to do anything with one of these. I will give you one if you want one, probably not to wear, but just if you want to remember this guy and his heart. He says, not dreaded ministry creep potential of activators. I have no idea what that means. And then I think these are his goals. He says, A, to stimulate curiosity and conversation about God's love. So the idea would be you're wearing one of these pieces of jewelry and somebody sees it, and this would probably work. They see it and they're like, oh, that's an interesting piece of jewelry, which is a nice way of saying that's ugly. And then you say, yeah, well, you know, to me, here's what it means. And then you explain the gospel using this piece of jewelry. And that would probably work. Some people do that with tattoos, right? Okay, so that would probably work. So let's see, what is B? Prod the wearer to get prayed up and armored up while in public. So what's he thinking there? Okay, so he's thinking you're going to put this jewelry on and you're going to wear it in public. And so someone's going to ask you, you're like, what's up with that jewelry? And so you probably want to pray so that you're ready for that conversation. Okay? So that makes sense. Get armored up. That would be from Ephesians 6, where it talks about putting on the full armor of God. And the idea would be we're not against physical battle. We're against spiritual battle. And so as you put this jewelry on, you would kind of think about, okay, I'm ready to do battle today in the spiritual realm. So that's kind of cool. Okay, C, help those in Christ to connect and bond together. Okay? Let me, I don't know if you'll want one or not, but we can pass these around. There are like 16 to 18 in there. Which we have about 16 to 18 people here today, so that works out pretty well. If you want one, that's fine, just to remember this guy. So what's he thinking there? Well, he's thinking, if I'm wearing my little necklace or bracelet, whatever it is, and you're wearing yours, then we see each other and we're like, oh, you've got one of those things on, because we all have this vision of doing this thing together. Okay? I'm not saying this is a great idea. I'm saying this is this guy's heart. Or even better would be this whole thing takes off, kind of like WWJD, right? Everybody has their bracelets and their t-shirts and stuff. And you go to Walmart, and at Walmart, you see somebody wearing one of these. And then you go up and you go, oh, I'm a Christian too. And then you pray for each other. And so it's kind of sweet, right? This guy's heart. D, this one's cool. Mark Holy Spirit temples walking around as lighthouses with answers for those lost and seeking help. What's that mean? It's weird that we're interpreting this guy instead of interpreting the Bible today. Okay, so I think what he's thinking here is, wouldn't it be cool if lost people knew who they could turn to? Right? So they're walking through life. It's kind of dark. They're on the crazy train. And they know if they see somebody wearing one of these, that's a lighthouse. That's somebody they can turn to and ask questions of. Okay? So if the whole thing exploded and everybody's walking around with these, that would kind of work, I guess. I don't know. That's pretty wild. So anyway, I thought that was all pretty cool. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it's pretty cool. The thing I liked the most was this. Sorry, it chokes me up. It's crazy. I think it says free for you and to give on, maybe, or give one, maybe he meant. And when I saw that, it's like, what's he thinking here? Well, he's thinking, I'm going to send this to this church, and you're going to put it on your information table or something, and I already made a little sign for you that you could put with this stuff. And it looks like he's 156 years old, right? Or maybe he had his grandkid help. I don't know. And I'm not mocking this guy. I love this guy. I love this guy. This guy is awesome. So what's going on, big picture? I picture it's this old man. He's like Paul. He's like, I'm going to die soon. I don't know what to do with my life. I want to make a difference. I have a bunch of CDs. I saw this little craft you could do. I can make these little crafts, and I can send them out to churches. I'll make them as free as I can to people. And I'm going to try to start this revival. And I'm just going to offer my loaves and fishes and see what God does with it. I personally don't think it's a great idea. But I am so touched by his faith. That is so cool. And so I don't want you to wear the bracelet. I just want you to imitate his faith. That is so neat. And preach the word in season, out of season. Does that mean you come up here and preach the word? Does that mean you go out on the street corner and you preach to people coming out of the bars? I don't know what it means. I don't know what God has for you. Maybe you take this idea and you make it a little bit better, a little more attractive or something. I don't know, but I like this idea. Just however God leads, it's like, do something. Do something. We have the words of eternal life. How can we share them with this lost world on this crazy train? Just one more practical idea. It's just, we're doing the mission trip to El Paso. I think what Dove shared on it last week, some people were a little bit confused by when he talked about a mission team coming from somewhere. Those people are from here. So there's nobody coming from Colorado or something. The idea is a group of people from our church would reach out to our community. And I would love to have 20 people who sign up just like they're doing a mission trip to Timbuktu. Like, I'm going to take off work, I'm going to spend money, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go to planning meetings, I'm going to help come up with ideas, I'm going to serve, we're going to all stay in one place together, it's going to be challenging, it's going to be faith-stretching, it's also going to be fun, it's going to be spiritually building, we're going to have an amazing time, it's going to be awesome. That would be my heart. And then our church, just like when we have had visiting mission teams, the rest of our church would provide support. And maybe that means making spaghetti. Maybe that means we do some of the events with them. Maybe we just kind of come alongside them. We have a fiesta. We have a celebration night. We have communion together. Just whatever it is. And so, do you want to go ahead and pass those out, John? Here's an interest survey. And you can fill that out and stick it in the offering box or give it to me. Or if you just leave it on a chair, I'll find it. But just to do something. Just to stretch our faith a little bit. I know there are a couple of people from out of town today, and you are welcome to come too. It'd be so much fun to just take 4 days and just say, let's just really focus on preaching the word and serving our community in whatever way God leads. So that'd be my heart. I think that's a really practical way to step out and to try to preach the word in our community to a world that's on a crazy train. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we do just ask for your guidance, God. It is hard to know what to do, what's effective. I kind of look at what this guy did, and I think, that's not going to work, that's not effective. And yeah, I probably was playing Crossy Road while he was building these. It's like, at least he's doing something. God, I pray that you would lead us into things that are helpful in communicating your truths to people, whether that's writing things and posting them on Facebook or talking to our friend or going out for lunch with somebody. God, just lead us. Lead us into whatever you have in ways to share your message with this world. And pray that we would even just be able to encourage one another in the faith, encourage one another in staying true to your word. And so we love you and thank you that you give us hope and life and answers. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.